Now, there's an interesting phenomenon that's happening right now in the larger American workforce. And it's possible that it's happening across the world, but I know for a fact that it's happening here in the States. Now, this is not a new phenomenon, but it's now been given a name, quiet quitting. Now, you would think that if you were quiet quitting, that maybe you would just be quitting your job and walking away. That's actually not what quiet quitting means in this context. It actually means coasting along in your job, doing the minimal amount of work to not get fired. I found an article online from Forbes.com. It was from September 15th, 2022, so not too long ago. And its title was, Why Half the Workforce is Quiet Quitting, and What to Do About It. So I'd like to read you just a little section of this. It says, quiet quitting is actually a new term for an old concept. It describes employees who exist in that state between actively engaged and actively disengaged. Employees who are actively disengaged are dissatisfied with their workplace. Disengaged employees are the most likely to leave, many having one foot out of the door at all times. On the opposite end of the spectrum are actively engaged employees, or those with a deep emotional commitment to the organization and its goals. Engaged employees are happy at work and willing to give their discretionary time and effort back to the organization. Continuing, quiet quitters live in the hazy no man's land between these two states. Employees who are neither engaged or disengaged show up only to do the bare minimum. They don't feel compelled to go above and beyond in their roles, but they're also not looking to leave. Quiet quitters are content to cash their paychecks and phone it in, nothing more, nothing less. Some blame remote workers for quiet quitting, believing it has given quiet quitters a way to hide their complacency. Of course, that means working from home, which has happened a lot during the pandemic. Just a little bit more. While this may be partially true, the reality is that quiet quitting has always been a thing. Now, we just have a name for it. Now, this article goes on to talk about how to fix the problem, and it places a lot of responsibility on managers and their style of managing. And I think this is partially true, but there's also, regardless of good or bad management, people are always going to kind of be engaged or disengaged based on what they're doing. Now, it's easier to be disengaged if you have bad management. That part is true. And the article goes on to outline how to fix some of those issues. The saddest part of this, to me, at the core of it, is that people have actually started taking to places like Twitter, TikTok, Reddit, and they're posting videos of how to slack off on the job, how to not do your best work, how to put the least amount of effort in. It's a scary thing to do that, because when you're willing to show that you are actively disinterested in trying to cut corners, it sets a very bad precedent for you in all areas of one's life. You know, we are all responsible, each and every person in the world is responsible for themselves. Blame can't be shoved off onto other people. Everyone is accountable no matter what. Being a message for church, of course, this has to tie in with our Christianity. And so the question I have is, we in the church, do we identify with this mindset at all? Whether it's in our work, with our families, or maybe even in our daily Christian lives. Just doing enough to get by. I know that at times this can happen in my life, and I would assume that it happens in everyone's life then. But that is not where we should choose to stay. We are admonished in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, that we are not to think this way. I'd like to read Colossians 3 and verse 23 and 24 from the NIV version. And it says, whatever you do, do it with all of your heart. Put everything into it, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that we will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. You know, the way we live and choose to live our lives in every aspect is very tremendously powerful, not just for ourselves, but for everyone around us to observe and to contemplate. We read stories in the Bible such as the parable of the sower and the seeds, and how some of those seeds sprung up and produced crop and to a varying degree of usefulness. And then we also read the story about the people who were given talents, and they were to go out into the workplace and to use those talents to grow more, to produce more. The expectation, then, is for us to thrive, to go out into this world and to do what needs to be done. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and verse 2 through 16, I love the imagery that Christ gives us. Matthew 5 and verse 14 says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and they put it under a basket, but they put it on a lampstand to give light in a house. And it gives light to all of those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So then, doing your best, being the greatest example possible. It takes active work and forethought. But we live in this world. We become sucked in at times when we allow our minds to only have space for the problems and the burdens that living inherently brings. You know, when we allow this type of mindset to start to creep into us, we will begin to have this mindset of quiet quitting. We can begin to lose the hope that we need. If we stop living as close to God as we can, we will start to drift away. Christ warns us that before the end of this age, the love of many people, many Christians, would begin to grow colder and colder until they fully drifted away, ceasing to be present, ceasing to care. I've heard it stated before that the state of the church often mirrors the state of this world. That's quite scary to think about, considering the article I just read. If 50% of the world or the American workforce is in this state of quiet quitting, and what happens in the church then? Now, obviously, this doesn't apply to everyone, but then again, it applies to a good amount of people. The process of quietly quitting as a Christian, losing our first love, is a slow drifting away from God. It's in allowing the cares and concerns to start to eat us up. It's not in putting our full faith and confidence in God in any and every and all situations. It's on leaning in our own understanding, our own wisdom. Instead, brethren, we have to continue to have faith, to have the hope in the face of the constant battles that we face, and especially if it relates to our health or money or family situations. Those three are the ones that always seem to hit people the hardest and the most. When we start to live closer to God and to Christ, the situations in our lives, they will start to take on a different light for us. In Psalm 73, you can read this later, but I really liked what it talked about. It talked about looking at this world and how it operates, and maybe just a slight sense of jealousy, because it seems that the people in this world can do wrong, they can keep sinning, and it seems that they continually prosper, sometimes even mocking God. And we can lose heart because we are the ones stuck in the trenches fighting the hardest because we know what we are fighting for. And it can be discouraging at times to look at the world around us and realize there are these people that are quietly quitting. And it's tempting sometimes to have that mindset. But it is through looking at the Word of God and drawing close to them that we can see their end. We can see what is going to happen in their future. We can see what's going to happen in our future if we keep our eyes on that. Brethren, we are called because we have an opportunity now, today, to be those lights that Christ was talking about in Matthew. We are those who God has chosen to be alive at this time, to deal with the issues that we have, so that people around us can see who we are by and through the help that God gives us. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 and 39, again reading from the NIV, Hebrews 10, 38 and 39, it says, "But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." We can have great hope in knowing that God considers us to be of this caliber. He has faith and hope that we will overcome and that we will make it into his kingdom, as his sons and as his daughters. We have to come to have this same confidence, this same mindset that God has. And in so doing, we can also help those who are struggling with hope, with faith. We can be those lights for them. You know, hope doesn't appear out of nowhere. Paul writes, "Hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what they have already have?" He continues, "But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently." That's in Romans 8 and 24 and 25. Paul continues to write in Romans 5 and verse 3 to 5. He says, "But we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Brethren, we have to desire it. We have to want it. We will have to want God's help more and more in our lives, in everything that we do. We have no idea the power and the strength that we will come to have if we allow God to work and live through our lives. There is no time for passivity in our lives. Our purpose, brethren, here is twofold. One, to be Christians and to live a way of life that people see us for who we are, that they may give glory to God, either now or in the future. And the second is to help in the work of God in whatever capacity we can, in whatever way that He wants us to do. And those two things don't allow room for quiet quitting in a Christian's life. Christ aptly said in Luke 2 and verse 49, "I must be about my Father's business." This business is ongoing, and we have a part in it. So let us make sure that we too can say that we are about God's business, actively doing everything in our power to do our part, to make sure that we are not quietly quitting.